Hi, today's August 12th, 2017. This is Competencies Podcast number 90. It's the first one we've done since April 29th. I'm Todd Ogasaward, my good friend Jay Stone. We've both had a busy, hectic summer, so we haven't had a chance to get together until now. Glad we finally can after, what is it, May, June, July, 3.5 months, practically?
Yeah, we've been busy. Yeah. I was stuck overseas, and then you were traveling.
You were in the middle of nowhere.
Yep, but literally nowhere, and a place you cannot leave. You literally can't leave.
Yeah.
You can't even catch a boat.
Yeah. I mean, we are in Hawaii, we are kind of used to being in the middle of nowhere. But you are really in any rate.
Yep. I was in the middle of nowhere. I really was.
Any rate.
To the point where they didn't have any fresh fruits or vegetables.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, not new ones. They were running out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. They had no lettuce. No lettuce. No tomato? They ran out of something that was like, wow, okay. Because everything gets shipped in. Yeah. And nothing could get in or out.
Well, you know, having lived in Alaska for a number of years back before transportation was as good as it is now, we didn't run out of food. But, you know, certainly fresh vegetables and fruits in the winter were almost unknown. But at any rate.
I can imagine.
But at any rate, although Jay and I have seen a bunch of movies, including Wonder Woman, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, and Spider-Man Homecoming, in the last 3.5 months since we last met, I asked Jay if it was okay if we go with a tribute to Adam West. Now, Jay's a little young to have seen it live. I am admittedly old enough to have seen it when it actually came out in 1966. But I assume you saw it in reruns, Jay.
Yeah, when I was a kid, I don't know if I was a preteen or teenager, they showed it on regular TV. I forget which channel. They brought it back. There was like there was a revival. There, when I was young. And I loved it. It was awesome.
Yeah.
And then all my siblings loved it because they saw it the first time.
Right.
Because they're much older than me. Yeah. And it was, the first season was really good, actually.
Yeah, and there are only two seasons. There are only two seasons.
Yeah, there were only two seasons. The second season got a little long in the tooth, but the first season was actually a lot of fun. It was good. It had the tune in next week, same bad time, same bad channel.
Right.
It was, and when I was very young, they had the Batman movie.
With Adam West and Burt Ward. I remember that, yeah.
Yes, they made the Batman movie, and I was I was in first grade or something. I was very young, and they, the Kanoe Dollar Twin Theaters, where the 24 Hour Fitness is now, they played that movie, and my mom took me to see it. And I thought it was great. I mean, it's a really good kids movie. I loved it.
Yeah, it's still a lot of fun, even today.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think you can, it was on Netflix for a while, I thought.
Yes, you're right, it was. It was. Just the movie, though, not the TV series.
Yeah, just the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was great.
Right. So Adam West passed away, unfortunately, on June 9th, so a couple of months ago now, 2 months ago. But we haven't had a podcast since, so I did want to catch up because, you know, like you, I have very fond memories of it and of the TV show that ran 1966, 1967. And one of the things that really interested me when Adam West passed away is that I was a fan of his because I love the TV show like you, Jay. And I thought, you know, I'm sure other comic book fans felt the same way. You know, that didn't surprise me. But the outpouring of admiration and kind words for him really surprised me, you know, because it was on TV, like, in general news. It wasn't in, I mean, entertainment news, but it wasn't in, you know, just the comic book news and stuff like that. So that was really surprised me how well-liked he was by non-comic book fans.
Well, he was an actor for a really long time.
Oh, yeah.
So I mean, he had roles before and he had roles after. And then he did a lot of voice work.
Yeah.
So there's actually people way younger than us who are familiar, at least with his voice, if not who he is.
Right.
You know, and his voice work was really good.
Yeah, you listed it in our show notes. He was in The Simpsons, Fairly Odd Parents, Family Guy. A couple of Batman cartoons that followed the TV series. And you mentioned also some video games. I didn't realize he was in the Batman animated series, as a voice, I mean.
Yeah, he was. I don't remember what role, but I remember when I saw it, I went, hey, that's Adam West.
Right.
Yeah. When I was watching the animated series. I mean, when it first came out.
Right. And yeah. He has a Hawaii connection, which I've completely forgotten about. He was on a TV show here in Hawaii called Kini Popo Show, which I don't know what that is, actually.
I don't know what it is either. I read that. I mean, I'm assuming Wikipedia is right.
Yeah. You know?
And I was like, okay. I mean, he was here for a while, and then I guess he got another part, and he moved back to the mainland.
Right, right.
You know, and continued his career, you know.
And you mentioned that, and also, you know, I should note, Jay prepared most of the show notes. I only added a couple of notes myself, but you noted that he was offered the role of James Bond in Diamonds Are Forever.
Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
One, he's not British.
Right? Nope.
He's American, right?
Yep.
And then it just seems like, why would you choose someone who's not part of the British Empire? But yeah, I mean, can you imagine how different that might have turned out? I mean, he has the right look.
Yeah.
Think about it.
Yeah.
He's got the height and, you know, he has that kind of, you know, that kind of chiseled structure for his face and everything. Right.
No,
I just can't imagine him having a British accent.
So did Roger Moore James Bond for Diamonds Are Forever? Or
I don't remember.
Because, you know, there was, in between Sean Connery and Roger Moore, there was one George Lazenby. Remember that? He played one movie of James. It was a terrible movie.
Her Majesty's Secret Service or something?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is... So they must have offered it before Roger Moore, which is...
Diamonds Are Forever had Sean Connery.
Oh, it's still Sean Connery.
It was still Sean Connery at that time.
Wow. That's even weirder then.
So George Lazenby, that one didn't work out.
No.
I'm reading Wikipedia.
Yeah.
So they wanted Sean Connery back, and they gave him $1.25 million in 1971.
Wow.
To make that movie.
Wow.
So can you imagine how... I mean, that's insane in 1971.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so because the George Lazenby movie didn't do too well, right, then they brought back Sean Connery. That must have been his last movie.
Yeah. Well, he did one more.
The one Never Say Never.
Yeah, which was kind of contemporary with Roger Moore, I think. It was kind of a weird thing.
Yeah, that was actually like a remake of Thunderball or something.
Right, right. Yeah. And it was some weird thing where the licensing is both parties own James Bond, the rights to James Bond, or something weird like that.
Yeah, it was kind of weird.
But yeah, Adam West as James Bond. You know, with all the digital, you know, magic they can do these days, it would be great for somebody to do like a 5-minute, 3-minute, you know, what if, right?
Yeah. That would have been awesome.
That would have been awesome indeed. So one of the things I wanted to mention is regarding, you know, Adam West is one of the surprising things is a couple of years ago, and I never read any of them, but DC published for a couple of years a series called Batman 66. I don't know if you ever picked up any of those.
No, but when I would read reviews of it, the reviews were just every issue was just really well reviewed. Yeah. Was it Michael Allred? I think Michael Allred drew it.
I think so. And they had different artists in every issue or something like that. But
they actually have a team up now.
Yeah, there's
Batman 66, Wonder Woman
77. Yeah.
Seven. Yes, they had a team up.
And Batman and Green Hornet.
Yeah, and they had a team up with that too.
Something else, but it's interesting that, you know, that at least for a couple of years, there's kind of this revival of the Adam West, Burt Ward version of Batman and Robin.
I mean, I think it makes sense. I mean, people love nostalgia and they're reliving that time period, you know?
I guess so.
Of their lives, you know, and what that meant to them.
So the other interesting thing I learned about it, reading about Batman 66's series, is that not only did they bring back the Batman and, Adam West and Burt Ward version of Batman and Robin, and that they brought back some of the villains that were unique to the TV show. Like, I think there was one called King Tut or something.
Yeah.
I don't think ever made it into the comics.
Yeah.
But they also brought in villains that came after this series. Like, they have Bane in one of the issues. A much toned-down Bane, from what I can tell. But I thought, oh, that's, I went to look on Comixology, and you can buy the collected volumes instead of buying them one by one. So I may try to buy
one. Oh, you mean the Batman 66?
Batman 66, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So I might go buy a volume and read a couple of issues just to see what it was like. But yeah, fond memories of the Batman. My favorite part, I think everybody's favorite part, was when they would be allegedly climbing a wall, and we all know they weren't actually climbing anything because they were just walking on a floor that looked like a wall, and somebody famous would pop up. Now, when you watched it, Jay, I recognize all those people because they're, contemporary entertainers when I watched them, but by the time you watch them, a lot of those people had faded from public memory. So did you know who the people were when they, when the windows would pop open and they would talk to Batman for a few seconds?
I didn't get it. My dad or mom or
would have to explain.
One of my siblings explained what was going on, because I just thought, okay, they're climbing a wall. And I went, they're climbing a wall? Really weird.
Yeah. But what about the people?
I was very young, so I didn't quite understand.
Right. But did you recognize any of the people? Did you know they were famous, or were they just random people?
No, to me, they were just, who are these people popping out of a window? Right. Every time they happened, there was someone who popped up.
Right.
It just seemed kind of weird to me.
Right.
I didn't get it, but I for my siblings and my parents, they were contemporaries, so they thought it was a big hoot.
Of course, yeah. Saw it. Yeah, it was kind of a precursor to Laugh-In, I think. You know how Laugh-In would have those little miniature jokes? I think Hee-Haw did the same thing in the period where they would have, 15-second comedic bursts. And I think that actually preceded a lot of it, or was contemporary with it. It was always kind of fun. It was always kind of fun, and they did it in almost every episode. The other thing that was interesting about the Batman 66 series, going back to the series, is that it was twice a week.
Yep.
So it was 2:30, and that's why you mentioned earlier, same bat time, same bat channel. So I think where I lived at the time, it was on Tuesdays and Thursdays or something. And each one was half an hour with commercials, of course. And so it was, but it was, when you think about it, it's kind of amazing. It's a one-hour live-action superhero TV show. For two seasons, which is, and now, of course, even with Arrow and all that, but it was pretty amazing at the time, I thought. When most comedies were half an hour, even the ones that, people consider legendary these days, like Mary Tyler Moore, Dick Van Dyke Show, and those kind of things are all half an hour in the 1960s. Andy Griffith Show, all those things. There really weren't that many one-hour comedies, and there are very few comedy action series. I'm trying to remember if there are any other thing, anything else. I mean, even Green Hornet was slightly more serious, I think.
Yeah, this Green Hornet spun out of Batman.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, I remember seeing the Green Hornet series because they had it at the Carnegie Dar Twin.
The TV show in the movie theaters?
Yep, they showed it.
Wow.
Yeah, they showed it. Like, you could watch a whole bunch of them.
Wow.
And it was like a dollar. It was cheap. So my mom would take me to the theater because it was cheap for entertainment, right? No VCRs back then.
And air conditioned.
Yeah, and air conditioned, right? Yeah. And so I watched a whole bunch of episodes of, I think I even saw the one where Batman and Robin fight Kato and Green Hornet.
Right.
Yeah, and that's when I saw Bruce Lee, and I was so confused because I didn't know Bruce Lee from Green Hornet. I already knew him from his Kung Fu movies.
Oh, that's right, because you're looking at it years later.
Later.
Yeah, from my perspective, you're watching it backwards, right?
Yeah, I didn't understand why he was playing this
sidekick.
It didn't make sense to me because I saw him, the Big Boss.
Right.
Enter the Dragon. And
why is this movie star playing the Hong Kong ones, Yeah.
Yeah, and then it's like, he wasn't dubbed?
Yeah.
Right? He wasn't dubbed? Right.
He didn't sound Australian?
Nope. He was, right? I heard it, and he was accent, and then he's like this, and I'm like, this was on television? It just seems so bizarre. Yeah, because I'm seeing it in not in chronological order. I never even knew this existed. I mean, people like my, I think my siblings would tell me that it did, and I just didn't believe them. It didn't make sense to me. It's like, why would you? He's Bruce Lee. Why would he do something like this? He's a big superstar, right? He's a big kung fu star.
And you know, and I, if I remember from the biopic starring Jason Scott Lee as Bruce Lee in Hong Kong, the Green Hornet show is called the Kato Show.
Yeah, that's what I remember from Dragon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was fun too. The Green Hornet TV show wasn't as good as Batman in my opinion. I could never quite figure out why. I always thought the guy who played Green Hornet was a little too stiff. Maybe, not sure.
It was too serious.
Yeah.
It was too dark. I mean, yeah. Batman, the Batman show knew it was making fun of itself.
Right.
I mean, it did. I mean, it knew it was just being silly. I mean, campy, and it was playing a joke upon itself, and not just that, upon the society at the time. It's a lot more profound than people give it credit for, even though it's just a kid's show. But Green Hornet was like, there's no way you can take this seriously. I mean, it's ridiculous.
You know, the interesting thing, by the way, is that back then, the Batman Green Hornet crossover was almost unimaginable because the intellectual property belonged to two different comic book companies. I think Green Hornet belonged at the time. And I don't know who owns the pulp fiction, you know, the books that Green Hornet or the radio show, I guess, is where it came from. I don't know who owns those rights, but I think Gold Key had the Green Hornet publication rights back then. Don't know who has it now. Mm. And of course, Batman was DC Comics, so it was pretty weird. You know, it was like seeing Superman and Thor team up or something back in the 60s.
What was that? He what?
It was like seeing Superman and Thor team up in the 1960s.
Oh, that'd be weird.
Yeah. And they did. And Marvel and DC artists and writers did kind of slyly do stuff like that, you know, without actually naming the characters. You would see Thor in a Halloween parade in Batman comics and things like that. But, you know, mostly wouldn't see an action team up. So until the Spider-Man, Superman, giant comic book team up.
I have that one.
Yeah, yeah.
But a reprint. I think I have a reprint. Yeah. I don't think I have an original.
Yeah, very first one. So it was really fun. Only two seasons. Seems like it was longer, but it was only two seasons of Batman in 1966, 1967 TV seasons. And it was, you know, like I said, I'm old enough to have seen it first run. Got the jokes because all those people come popping out of windows were famous. Didn't quite get some of the villains and because they didn't appear in the comic books.
Like Egghead?
Yeah. and others. Well, it was interesting, you know, because the TV show is affecting the comic books, making the tone of Batman a little lighter. You know, it was a weird time for Batman, right? So Batman had just come off of the super campy science fiction Batman of the 1950s and early 60s, where he would, like, go to other planets and things, which was really bizarre when you think about it. And, you know, rainbow-colored Batman and all those kind of things, and Bat-Dog and everything.
Hey, Bat-Dog was cool.
True. That is true. You got to admire a dog that wears a mask.
That's right. And a cape.
And a cape, yeah. And, you know, the Batman family had expanded to basically match the Superman family. Actually, even more, right? Because there's Batwoman and Batgirl and all kinds of things.
Yeah, didn't they have... I remember at that time... Well, I wasn't alive at that time, but there was a time I remember in the 70s they had Batman family comic book and they had Superman family.
Yes, I remember that.
And they featured different characters from the different lines of comics.
Right. So you know, it would be a couple of years, like a year or two after the Batman series ended that the Batman started returning to his roots. And by that, I'm kind of thinking of the Neil Adams, you know, Dennis O'Neill Batman.
Yeah.
That, you know, Ra's al Ghul and those kind of characters starting to appear. And will culminate, you know, years later in the 1980s with, you know, with The Dark Knight Returns. And then that was it, right? Batman went very dark after that. Which I don't like, by the way. I kind of enjoy the lighter Batman.
I like both, but I prefer the darker Batman.
Well, you grew up with them, so that's understandable.
Well, I actually kind of grew up with both.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was into older comics.
Right.
I liked, so even if it was reprints, I liked the comics from the, you know, the, around when Justice League first came out.
Right.
That kind of time period when you had like Elongated Man and, you know, where things were a little not as serious. So right. I enjoyed that when I was young. And then as I got older, I liked, Frank, The Dark Knight Returns, that was just blew me away. It was incredible.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
So, and then probably the one I've enjoyed the most is probably the Grant Morrison's run.
Oh, really?
When he does, yeah, Grant Morrison's, I think of all the writers who've written Batman, he's probably my favorite Batman writer other than Denny O'Neill.
Yeah, well, I was going to say for me, and probably because I'm older than you, it's the Denny O'Neill, Neil Adams run.
Yeah, that was phenomenal.
To me, was the definitive Batman run. And again, you know, might just be my age. You know, just, I happened to read it, you know, first run. And it was just mind-bending. And also the Denny O'Neill, Neil Adams Green Lantern run, which was
even better.
Yeah, which was even more. I should add Green Arrow also.
Yeah, Green Lantern, Green Arrow. Yeah. When I picked up some of those, I started collecting comics very young, so they were still publishing those.
Yeah.
When I was a little kid.
Yeah.
And so I picked up a few of those, and that was like that's when they went across America, right?
That's the one. They were kind of like on Route 66 in a convertible. Literally.
Yeah, they went on a road trip. Wow.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was the first time, I mean, Neil Adams' artwork was just so different from anything you had seen before.
It was
so hyper-realistic, you know, versus like Kirby, right, which is just like hyperactive.
I love both artists, and you're right, mm-hmm. they're just so different.
Yeah, Kirby is actually very abstract.
Yeah.
When you look at it, right, and he has color that's just, and his, it's like, I mean, and I don't mean to sound like, this is not meant to sound as a, it's not a criticism. It's like if someone were on a drug that changed your consciousness and then you just drew whatever you wanted. That's Kirby,
To me, it was a little bit different. I mean, I guess I never thought about it that way. For me, Kirby was had perfected minimalism.
That is true.
He could, in a weird way, right? Because he also drew some of the most complex comical panels in a known universe. But for he could define, you know, the Thing or Superman or whoever he was drawing at the time in a minimal amount of lines, and the character just pop out of the page. You would see the power of that character with that giant fist, you know, in the foreground, right? I mean, that was kind of his signature, with, you know, a fist three times larger than the guy's head to show perspective, coming out of the page, so to speak. And these and of course his inkers, you know, also made a huge difference, depending who was inking him. But these, you know, thick black lines just, you know, exuding power. And on the other hand, even though he had this kind of simplified, you know, basic kind of drawing for some characters, on the other hand, he drew these fantastic backgrounds of, like, you know, Galactus's spaceship or an invading armada or whatever. That would be incredibly detailed with a million ships and parts and things poking out of whatever. And
every panel for Kirby has so much, and it's not just all the things in the background and what's going on. It's his storytelling through his art.
Yeah.
And I was really, you know, when he, I was, I never, I don't think I ever picked it up, but I think I was old. I was young enough that I saw, you know, the New Gods when he did Fourth World.
Oh yeah,
and that was classic. Just like whacked out. You know, that was so cosmic. And then when he went off on his own to do independent publishing, yeah, with the independent publishers like Captain Victory,
right,
and the Galactic Rangers, and then he did Silver Star. I was really in. I actually really prefer his work that he did independently
on really?
Independent publishers. Yeah, it was weird, and sometimes the plots didn't quite make sense. But I actually, it's some of my favorite comics. Captain Victory, right?
Yeah.
And the Galactic Rangers, and then Silver Star. I really liked it, and it's like he had no constraints, and he could just do whatever he wanted. Yeah. I just, unfortunately, the publishers kept on, going bankrupt, and so you can never finish the story.
Yeah. Well, isn't a Jack Kirby podcast, but since I enjoy talking about him, since he is one of my favorite creators, I just wanted to add that, you know, it's really interesting. So as a kid, I identified Jack Kirby with Marvel Comics. You know, he did Fantastic Four, he did Thor, he did, you know, all the best stuff, right? And then when he, you know, when that contract dispute arose in Marvel and he just jumped ship to DC, one amazing thing, and his artwork really changed at that point. And I think here's my theory. So he was always this incredible speedy artist, right? He could do, like, you know how some artists can't even do one comic book a month.
Yeah.
When he jumped to DC, he was doing Forever People, Mr. Miracle, Jimmy Olsen, and New Gods every month. Writing and drawing. And Commandy.
Commandy.
Yeah. He was doing 5 comic books a month.
Insane.
Writing and drawing.
Yeah, insane.
Right?
You can't beat the king.
No. Right? And you know, writing and drawing, right?
Yeah.
And these other guys, as great as they are, they just don't have the speed he had. I mean, they can't do one comic book a month.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm not faulting him for it. I'm just saying Kirby was inhuman, which he also co-invented with Stan Lee, I think. But he was definitely the first inhuman. And his power was drawing comic books at a superhuman speed.
Yeah, but they were always well done.
Yeah.
Did he even work on Silver Surfer? He did, right?
I think he and Stan Lee created the Silver Surfer and Galactus, for that matter.
Really?
Yeah, damn. Pretty sure.
Wow.
Pretty sure. I know that. I mean, right. I mean, you know, those two are incredible. I mean, they go back out to the 40s, right? Captain mm-hmm. America
mm-hmm.
is, I think, Jack Kirby and Stan Lee.
Captain America was Simon and Kirby.
Oh, you're right. That's
that was in
Simon
the
40s. Kirby, right? Not Stan Lee. Simon and Kirby. Yeah. Joe Simon. So, you know, fun stuff. Fun stuff. Anyhow. That is about all I have to say about the Batman 66, and well, I guess we could keep talking with Jack Kirby. I did want to mention that, you know, my daughter and I, before she headed back to school again, my daughter and I popped in for one day at the Honolulu Comic Con. Never been to one of those before.
How was it?
It was fun. We didn't pop into any of the panels, but, you know, we just kind of wandered around the booth areas, and I bought a poster by a local artist whose name I can't remember, sorry. Nice Spider-Man poster. My daughter bought, I forget, she bought a couple of posters too. They're pretty nice. A lot of local artists were there showing their stuff. And, let's see, Kevin, who's the guy that played Hercules? Kevin, I can't remember his name. Hercules, the TV show. But anyway,
Kevin Sorbo?
Kevin Sorbo was there, but we didn't do any autographs. Kevin Sorbo was there. And we saw the 5th Doctor Who, whose actor's name I'm blanking out on, Colin Baker. Colin Baker was there. I did happen to see him milling around. He was also signing autographs. And some folks from Arrow were there, Arrow and The Flash. But I say we're not.
Oh, really? Who?
Let's see. The actress who plays Iris West.
Okay.
Was there.
Candace Patton or something, yeah.
And the actress who plays Killer Frost on The Flash was there.
Really? Panabaker. She's actually a pretty big actress.
And the actress who plays Speedy on Arrow was there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So the three.
How did you get all these people to the Hawaii Comic Con?
Yeah, three of them were there signing autographs. So, you know, if we were autograph seekers, we probably would have gone back to get those, but we didn't. And there are some panels, but the panels aren't like at the San Diego Panic Con. They're like local folks, you know, like regular folks running it, as far as I can tell. Next year, 2018, I think William Shatner's coming for Comic Con.
For real? That's the Hawaii Comic Con.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what I read in the like one of the TV news web pages the other day. So that should be kind of fun.
Wow, that's
I might incredible. Go do that. I might go. I'm not. I've never gotten anybody's autograph in my entire life, but I might go pay to get his autograph.
Yeah, I haven't. I've had so many opportunities, and I always chicken out. Like Wayne Brady, he used to be married to someone who was from Kaneohe.
Oh yeah,
a dancer.
Yeah.
And so they were, I guess, home, or she was home, and they went to Winter Ball, and they ate at the food court. And it's like, hey, that's Wayne Brady. And it's like, oh, get his autograph. Oh, I don't want to do that. And then there was Mick Fleetwood. He went to the Justin Bieber concert, and I took my daughters to go see the Justin Bieber concert. He took his daughters to see the Justin Bieber concert. That's funny. And he has like a, he lives on Maui, right? And so I'm standing next to this guy who's like 7 feet tall or something. Yeah. He's waiting to use the bathroom,
right?
Because all the women, you know, we're using the bathrooms outside of the arena, and they're very small. And then all the women were using the men's bathroom because there's not enough, there's not enough stalls for the women.
Right.
It was taking forever, and then I was like, and he had on this like pink outfit and a hat, super tall. And I'm like, "Excuse me, are you Mick Fleetwood?" And he said, "Yes, I am." And I went, "Wait a minute, the Mick Fleetwood?" He said, "Yeah, I'm Mick Fleetwood."
Wow.
Went, whoa. And I'm just standing next to him, and I'm thinking, should I take a picture? And I said, ah.
You should have. You should have gotten a selfie, man.
I know. I know. But I didn't have a very good phone back then.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I said, well, why are you here? And he said, oh, I brought my daughter to see Justin Bieber. And he actually had a lot of good things to say just about Justin Bieber.
Oh, that's interesting. Well,
Justin Bieber's a drummer.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And I didn't know anything. I didn't like his – I don't like Justin Bieber's early music. I like his music now.
Yeah.
I really love his music now. But back then, I was like – I actually left the concert because I couldn't take the noise. You okay?
Yeah. Yeah, still have vestiges of my cold, and I'm not sure my I don't think my mute button works as fast as I wanted to.
Yeah, and then I have what is it, Disney World, when they used to have Star Wars weekends, we would always go during Star Wars weekends, and then we're just walking around at night, and then Warwick Davis was walking around with his family and taking pictures and signing autographs with people. And then we were like, hey, that's Willow. And that's Wicket. And they were like, and then his sister says, it's okay. He doesn't mind. He can go to it. I don't know. He's with his family. No, it's okay. He does it all the time. And his sister, it's fine. I say it's fine. It's fine. So I didn't do that one. And then the latest one, this latest one was, I was in Forever 21.
With
my daughter and my wife. My daughter's trying to find some food. And then I'm really into K-pop.
Yeah.
I love K-pop. And there was this famous singer. She was huge in the 90s. And she does musical theater now. And her group had a comeback. They had like a 25th or 20th anniversary comeback special. And so she recently got married. And so she was here with her new husband.
Yeah.
Who's like 5-10 years younger than her or something like that. Her name is Bada.
Yeah, I know who Bada is. She was in Bada? SES, right?
Yes, SES.
Yeah.
Right? So she's the first S. She's the C.
Right.
In SES, right? So she's in Forever 21. I look at this woman, I go, I told my wife, that's Bada.
Yeah.
And she went, nah. And I said, that's Bada.
Does your wife know who SES is?
Oh, yeah, yeah, because she's Korean. She used to watch
those. Well, doesn't mean she knows who it is.
Oh, no. We would watch the Korean music shows. Oh, okay. She had her groups that she liked, and I had mine.
Okay.
And she didn't like SES. She liked a different group.
Okay.
And so I just yell out, Bada! And she turns. Hears this sound, and she turns.
Yeah.
And she kind of just looks at me like, how does anyone know who I am here in Hawaii? And she kind of is startled, and I wave to her, and she waves back to me. And then she just kind of like smiles and doesn't – just kind of stays looking at clothes.
Oh, that was
and
nice.
Then, and then a few minutes later, she comes up to us because now she's curious.
Right.
Who are these people who actually know who I am?
Yeah.
And then
– And you don't look Korean.
No. And she said, Korean? And I said, no. And I point to my wife. My wife's Korean. Yeah. She's Korean.
Yeah.
And so they talk in Korean.
Yeah.
And then I think, man, I should have gotten a selfie.
You should have recorded it.
I know. But, you know, I'm always too chicken when it comes to the...
Yeah, I know.
I feel like I'm imposing so much. No, she's on a vacation.
I would feel the same way.
And I feel like, but then I think, and my daughter's like, no, you shouldn't. And then I told my daughter, that's bada.
Yeah.
We need the bada. And I said, yeah, bada. And then she went back to shopping.
Yeah.
And I was like, I probably should have done it. But then I have my memories.
Yeah.
I always have my memories. I've met so many famous people. I've never gotten their, and I've never gotten their autographs.
Wow. I don't think I've met anybody famous. I don't think I've ever met a famous entertainer. I'm just trying to think through. Nope. Never.
Well, even like, do you know Cypress Hill?
The group? Wait, was that a group?
Yeah, the rap band?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So the main rapper.
Yeah, like an early rap band, right?
Yeah, we were the first time we went to, was it the first time? First time I went to Miami. I think I was there for work, and I was trying to get to a conference. And is his name Be Real? I forget the name. I forget the guy's name, but he has like a mustache. And he was just walking through Miami airport. He's like right next to us, like right next to me. And I was like, hey, that's the guy for Cypress Hill.
Well, the only famous, I've never met them, but the only famous people I've ever seen are some Hawaii Five-0 cast, you know, when they're filming around downtown. Well, that's about it.
Yeah.
That's
at least I got to speak to Mick Fleetwood, and I got to actually.
That is awesome.
And I got to talk to Bada, although.
Yeah. Also awesome.
She talked mostly to my wife.
Yeah.
She talked a little bit to me.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, and then, you know, my wife was saying, oh, yeah, he loves your group, and he remembers when you were with SES, and he has all your albums. Yeah. And then I said, yes, and I said, congratulations, you just got married. And she, like, freaked out. Because
like, he knew, right?
I'm married.
Stalker, and I said, stalker.
I know. And I said, no, it's YouTube.
Yeah.
YouTube, you're on YouTube. And I said, you posted it.
Yeah.
She posted her own, you know, like wedding, and it was like a big deal in Korea because it was filmed and everything. Because she's like a big star.
She's a big star, yeah.
You know, so it was like kind of like her. I don't know if it was a reality TV show, but yeah, she had. It was like had a big press conference and was on, on the TV show.
Well, you know, I tell you what, Jay,
or whatever.
When in your one of these days when we you know when we get past our once every quarter comic views podcast, we will do a K-pop K-drama podcast. How's that?
Oh sure, I know K-pop. I don't really know too much K-drama. We'll do a K-pop. My wife could do that. She knows K-drama very well.
We'll do,
but only old ones.
I was gonna say, what would we? We would. What are we? We would be called by the young folks. Oh shucks. What's the word for uncle in Korean? Not ajushi, something else. But
They just say opa.
No, opa is for only a male slightly older. Like an older brother or a
I don't know. I know ajushi and I know opa.
Yeah, I think it's ajushi for like an uncle, right? Somebody significantly older than you are. But at any rate.
Yeah, I just say ajushi.
Yeah. But at any rate, we'll do one of those. We'll do a ajushi K-pop show. How's that? Two old guys talking about K-pop. Yeah. But at any rate, it is good to hear from you, even if it's once a quarter. Hopefully things will slow down a little in a couple of months or for you. For me, it's been a lot of just busy work stuff. But we'll get together. We've got a bunch of movies to catch up on. And I do want to mention The Inhumans is going to start real soon. It's been filmed in Hawaii. I have not seen any of filming, but I've looked at a bunch of previews. And every pier you go, oh, yeah, that's Bishop Street. Oh, yeah, that's covering up the, St. Damien statue in front of the state capitol, except it has inhuman writing on it.
But I heard that the preview they showed at Comic-Con did not go over well.
Oh, not good. Not good.
I heard that people just laughed at Medusa, and they were laughing.
Oh, because special effects were bad?
Not because it was so awful. And then Jeff Leb, or Loeb, I don't know how to pronounce his name.
Yeah, I think it's Loeb.
He's like the head of TV, right?
Right.
For Marvel. L-E-B,
yeah.
He was trying to defend it and saying, you know, we're still in production. This is our early draft. And it's going to look awesome. But to be honest, I don't know. The preview I saw... I'm not that excited to see it. I have a bad feeling.
Oh, I don't have a bad feeling yet. Of course, I was just looking at the background trying to recognize places, so perhaps I didn't concentrate enough on the content. I have a, you know, in humans, it's going to be tough to grasp. They're not well known by the general population. But the same could be said for Guardians of the Galaxy, so, you know, which I didn't think would do well because nobody knew the characters. And
the thing I don't understand is, and I really hope they explain it really quickly, is they already have Inhumans and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right.
And they already had this whole story about, you know, the Inhumans and, you know, that woman that led the Inhumans.
Right.
I don't know how they're going to explain, you know, two sets Adeline, of Attilan, Attilan, Alethan, right. Attila on the moon.
Right.
How do they, and then now you have a new king. And then it's totally different from what Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. described in humans.
That's a really good question. I don't know the answer.
And then they have more comic book costumes, and they, you know, it's more comic booky with Medusa's hair. It's like bright red,
right?
It's like in the comic. And then they have Nero, I forget his name, his brother. And then Black Bolt actually has his voice power. And then they have Maximus. Gorgon, and Maximus, and they have Triton, and then they have Lockjaw.
Yes.
The only thing I actually liked of the preview...
Lockjaw.
Well, there were two things.
Okay.
I liked about the preview. One was Lockjaw.
Yeah.
I was like, yes.
You gotta love Lockjaw. He's
one of my favorite characters.
Yep.
Because you know he can speak.
Well, they retconned that, but okay.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, I looked it up. I used to...
That's wrong. He should speak.
Okay.
That was... When I saw that in The Thing, because I used to collect The Thing comic book series, and then... He was hanging out with Lockjaw, and he actually talks. I went, no way.
Okay,
that's
so here,
so cool.
Okay, so here's okay. Before we go, and I love these tangents we go on; they're really fun.
Yeah.
Okay, so for years, I thought Lockjaw was a human that whose inhuman power made him look like a dog. Right.
Oh.
Versus a dog that had inhuman powers.
Yeah.
So I always felt kind of bad that he was treated like a pet and behaved like a pet. And I kind of remembered that scene you mentioned too, where Lockjaw is talking. So I did some research on Lockjaw because I was going to complain, isn't that like slavery if you treat a human like a pet? Inhuman like a pet, I guess. But it turns out that although that was in one miniseries or something, Lockjaw was in fact a human in the form of a dog, for his teleportation powers and so forth. That got retconned later, and it was all a joke. And, you know, like Quicksilver tells somebody, oh, you believe that? No, he wasn't talking. You know, that kind of thing.
That's not right.
Yeah.
It was better when he could speak and just doesn't speak very often. And the other thing I liked from the preview is you see Black Bolt use his voice.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw that. Anyway,
Yeah.
The Medusa hair, not so good.
No, not so much.
But the Black Bolt voice, pretty good. And I don't know, Serena Swan, she's pretty. But she's not that good of an actress.
Well, I'm worried about it being set in Honolulu. Because Marvel has never done anything in Honolulu that I can remember. Anything significant, at least.
Yeah, so, but it's not literally based in Hawaii, right? They're just filming it Lost, right?
I don't know.
It's not like Hawaii 5-0.
Because if you look at previews, I see people wearing Aloha shirts and stuff.
What? It'd be better if it was like Lost. They just happened to film here.
And
they make it look like other places.
Yeah, but in Lost, again, we're going to tangent, but it's fun, so I don't care. So in Lost, you're right. Lost is filmed mostly on Oahu, in places that doesn't look like it's in civilized areas. And even where it was disguised. So St. Andrew's Priory School became the boys' school somewhere in England, and it became a street in the Thames in London. And I think one of the pubs downtown, an Irish pubs, became a literal Irish pub or something. So yeah, none of it was in Honolulu, even though it was shot here. But this one, if you look at it, I mean, they're shooting right down Bishop Street, right? you can see all the buildings. They land in the middle of traffic and people honking at them and, stuff
like that. Well, Jeff Loeb said that it's still in production and they're trying to fix it. And that's why it didn't look so good at Comic-Con. So maybe they'll change everyone's shirts.
Yeah, well, go take a look at some of the previews, and it really looks like it's in Hawaii to me. Maybe just because I know the places, but it didn't seem like they're trying to disguise the fact that they're in Hawaii. In fact, I think Black Bolt's wearing an Aloha shirt.
What?
Yeah, that go would be look. Crazy. Go look. I think in.
I will. I'll look at the preview again.
Yeah.
Oh, and Maximus does not look threatening at all.
No. And he's supposed to be one scary dude, so.
He's supposed to be freaking crazy.
Yeah.
At least in the comics. He's like he's totally insane. Didn't they have like King of Kings or something? They had like this King storyline.
Oh, I don't remember that one.
I picked it up at the library in one of those compilations. Right. It was messed up. I mean, he took over the Shi'ar Empire.
Yeah.
Yeah, he just like took over the whole empire and like just declared war on like the universe.
Right. Okay, at any rate, this is our quarterly Comics Views podcast. I think Jay has got some busy stuff to do in the next couple of weeks, but we will regroup hopefully maybe September, Jay.
I'll be back.
Okay.
Be able to
Probably do some TV shows. I think some TV shows may be starting up. And I know you're not a Doctor Who fan, but I guess Doctor Who we won't see for months anyway, so nothing to discuss there until the Christmas episode. But yeah, definitely some movies to catch up on, some new TV shows going to start up, Flash, Supergirl.
I'm really looking forward to the new season of Flash.
Yeah, Green Arrow. But okay, hey,
I'm looking forward to Black Lightning.
I was never a fan of that. You know, that offshoot. What is the name of the comic series, comic book branding that they use? Black Lightning and a couple other superheroes. Vibe. No, it wasn't Vibe.
No, that was Milestone. That's different. Black Lightning was from the 70s. He had that belt that gave him lightning powers.
I thought Black Lightning was part of the Milestone series, no?
No. He's way before. He used to fight a guy called Tobias Whale, which was basically the Kingpin.
Okay.
He was one of my favorite characters.
Anyway, my apologies to our fives as listeners for my coughing. I've spent a whole week sick. And my mute button is just, you got to press it super hard for it to work. So sometimes it doesn't work when I press it. Anyway, Jay and I will be back someday. We've got lots of other stuff to talk about. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you later.